You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Julie Kane in for Hanat Baba. This week, we're presenting a series about preserving affordable housing in the Bay Area. Yesterday, we met advocates pushing to enforce tenant protection laws and the property owners pushing back.
What I'm saying is the perspective is very balanced against landlords nowadays and has ever been.
You know, they see us as dollar signs, I feel like, and so when situations like this arise, we're at their mercy.
So there's the right of housing, and there is the right of ownership of property. Whose rights are more valuable?
Today, we're talking about another strategy for keeping low-income people in their homes, the federal housing voucher program known as Section 8. This kind of assistance is one way lower-income families have been able to live securely in cities like San Francisco and Oakland. But today, the region's high cost of housing is enticing landlords to opt out of the program, often leaving their tenants with nowhere to go. KALW's housing reporter Liza Veal has more.
Eva Castillo thinks of herself as a strong person.
I've been working ever since I've been 8.
She was raised in the Sunnydale Projects in San Francisco, sharing a bedroom with 3 brothers. Now she works construction, often as the only woman on the job. But when she was evicted, she says she felt truly helpless for the first time in her life.
It's heartbreaking, like, I ain't never been in this situation.
Castillo asked us not to use her real name for this story. She doesn't want her employer to find out that she's been in homeless limbo ever since the eviction, a year ago. She and her 4 teenage daughters are scattered now, crashing at 5 different places.
You don't know what tomorrow is going to hold, and then having to try to figure out where you're going to sleep at and all of those things, and it's horrible. It's stressful.
Castillo was evicted not through any fault of her own, but because she was using Section 8 vouchers to help pay her rent, and her landlord decided to leave the program. So after 8 years in her home in the Bayview District of San Francisco, Castillo and her daughters moved out.
The home itself was beautiful. I didn't want to leave. You had a view of the whole city. The rooms were super big.
The way the Section 8 program works is voucher holders pay what they can afford, about 30% of their income, and then the voucher pays the rest. So the local housing authority and Castillo's landlord together decided that the fair market rate for her 3-bedroom spot was $2,800. Now, Castillo makes pretty good money, so she paid $2,500. Then the voucher picks up the difference, in this case, the remaining $300. But the thing is, anyone who knows San Francisco real estate knows you can find someone willing to pay more than $2,800 for a 3-bedroom these days, even in a less fancy neighborhood like the Bayview. Castillo's landlord knew she could get more from her property, so she quit the program. And because there are so many other landlords opting out too, Castillo's having a hard time finding anywhere to go.
And I find myself looking further and further out. I'm looking in Brentwood now, and it's like it's getting further, and it's like my whole life is out here. My work is in San Francisco.
Because Castillo can't find anyone to take her voucher in San Francisco, she's going to have to transfer her registration wherever she'll move. It's called porting. It's a little bureaucratic shuffle that takes about 2 weeks. But that means that whenever she gets close to landing a place, she has to ask the landlord to wait. She says several houses have slipped through her fingers because the landlords have gone with the tenant that's ready to move in right now. In fact, just last night, a place she was hopeful about fell through. The landlord...
He called me at like 9:30 last night, and when I get that, it's like I'm up all night now because all my hopes was up, and now it feels like it's like again, you know what I'm saying? So it's like I barely get sleep as it is. So it's like my struggle is so real.
She and her 4 daughters are crashing with different friends and family. They're rarely able to get together all at once.
So it's like the things that we, it'll sit downstairs, paint each other nails, do each other hair, all that stuff is gone.
Since I first met Castillo 6 months ago, her voucher has expired. So now she's looking for a place she can afford without assistance. She thinks it's doable since it's just for her and her youngest. But if this had happened when her daughters were all kids, she says she doesn't know what she'd do.
I feel bad for mothers that have littler kids than me, and I worked at St. Anthony's where they feed people, you know? So it's like coming in there to see people trying to get food and this and that with 3 and 4 kids. That hurts because that could have been me.
Castillo says she felt like she did everything right and still collapsed into homelessness. And the story is the same all around her.
Everybody that I know that I grew up with either are on drugs, living in another county or in another state. Because California is too rich for us poor people to be too poor.
The Section 8 program has never been big enough to subsidize everyone that qualifies to be on it. But it used to be like, if you won that lottery, you were safe. The program was a good deal for landlords with property in low-rent districts. But in today's Bay Area housing market, low-rent districts are quickly getting bid up.
What's happening is that the Section 8 participation in the neighborhoods that are gentrifying or that have gentrified is just dropped to nothing.
Eric Johnson runs the voucher program for the city of Oakland. He's talking about gentrifying neighborhoods like Bayview, or in his city, the ones around Lake Merritt, some of which have lost 20% of their Section 8 landlords in the last 3 years. Johnson says the housing prices in the Bay Area have escalated so quickly, the vouchers haven't kept pace. But they're not just lagging. See, the way the federal government calculates fair rental prices is so flawed that in 2015, Oakland's voucher values actually went down. That's right.
In the most rapidly increasing rental market in the country. In the country, they say your rents have gone down 3%. That insanity has to stop.
That happened because the calculations were based on national averages from 3 years ago.
Why are we going back 3 years to get data? All that plays into a program that's, in my view, really in a state of crisis.
Eric Johnson is on a mission to reform Section 8. See, he's the head of the Oakland operation, but it's a national program. He works under the Department of Housing and Urban Development. Let's look at the bigger picture for a sec. Throughout the country, just over 2 million households receive vouchers at a cost of $20 billion. The funding fluctuates, but over the decades, it's basically hung on. Section 8 has replaced public housing as the major federal low-income housing program. One of the main reasons people like it is it's also an investment in the private sector. With the vouchers, landlords make a bigger profit renting to poor people than they would if they could only charge what those people can afford. So the government's idea was, it's a win-win.
You had one side of the aisle that liked it because it was providing housing to families, it was making housing affordable. So there was support for that reason. And on one side of the aisle, they supported it because property owners liked it, because it was a guaranteed source of rental income and it was a good program.
But the program has gotten more expensive for the government to fund. For a lot of complicated reasons, average rental prices have been driven up way beyond just the actual bare bones cost of sheltering people. It means property owners can make bigger profits today. And if Section 8 doesn't subsidize the same profits, property owners opt for the private market, like Eva Castillo's landlord did. Some people argue this is why vouchers are ultimately more expensive than government-owned public housing. Advocates of socialized housing, as they call it in places like the Netherlands and Singapore, say the beauty of it is there's no dealing with the craziness of the private market. The rent from tenants and the government subsidy just has to add up to the actual cost of housing people. Not all that, and a profit for landlords. But to Eric Johnson, working with the private market is actually the upside of the voucher system, because the industries involved lobby for it and keep it politically viable. Nobody lobbies for public housing, and that's why he doesn't see flipping back to that system as an option.
If we were to flip and say, let's create a socialized housing model, I would be really cautious about that if it was dependent on the federal government writing a check to keep the units livable. Because the history in this country is that's not going to happen.
So Johnson thinks the best thing to do is to work with what we got, improve the Section 8 program. His city, Oakland, is one of a bunch in the country that are special experimental cities, which means they get to pilot reforms that might get adopted across the country. If these reforms work here in Oakland, Eric Johnson says,
we're going to go pound the hill and say, let everybody have this opportunity.
The point of these reforms is to hang on to more landlords, people like Mario Andrews.
Now, you say I need a roof or I'll be okay or what?
We're at Andrews' 9-unit apartment building in East Oakland. Most, but not all, of his tenants are voucher holders. He's here with a contractor doing some repairs. They inspect the building while two kids climb in a tree nearby and a few young men hang out down the driveway.
Okay, let me show you some work I'm going to need in the future.
Andrew says the building needs work done every couple of months, mostly to keep things up to code for Section 8 inspections.
They will find things that the tenant doesn't have a problem with, but no one has a problem with, but they have a technical problem with.
This is one of the things Eric Johnson's Housing Authority wants to improve. Fewer inspections for landlords with good records, more inspections for the ones that need attention. They're also going to start loaning landlords the money to make improvements in order for their property to qualify for the program. Mario Andrews says he already feels the power dynamic changing.
Since the market increased, since Section 8's having a problem with landlords, they backed off of all of that. And they're much more reasonable now, much more reasonable.
The Housing Authority will also start to automatically approve rent increases when they go up, instead of requiring landlords to request them themselves. And the biggest change is that prices will be determined by local data, not by administrators in Washington. Andrew says he appreciates these hassles being eased, but he wasn't about to leave the program. It's working for him. This neighborhood isn't gentrifying, so his voucher-holding tenants are still a more reliable source of income than the private market ones that rent around here.
Getting a tenant to pay their rent on the first is a challenge. You have to chase down tenants. You have to follow them. You have to call them. You have to text them. You have to remind them. And then at a certain point, you only have so much energy, and you just get it when you can get it.
Over the years, Andrews's tenants without vouchers have racked up a lot of overdue debt with him. He's evicted people that owe him as much as 5 months' rent. He doesn't bother with the court process if he can avoid it, so that money is usually lost. He says it's hard to reconcile the landlord business with his belief that everybody deserves shelter.
It makes your Christianity difficult because you do want to treat people a little bit above and beyond, but trust me, I've had tenants who mistake kindness for weakness.
But Section 8 doesn't function or fail because landlords are either saints or greedy price gougers. They just need to be making enough money that they're not losing out compared to the private market. But that's getting more and more expensive for the government to sustain. If and when Mario Andrews' neighborhood gentrifies, there will be a lot more money to lose. In Oakland, I'm Liza Veal for Cross Currents.